I'm going to skip around a little bit this morning with scripture. Probably not going to read very much scripture, but try to cover some different things. If I have a thought that I want you to remember this morning, is the thought, arise and let us go forth. Now I'm going to change it just a little bit. Get up. Get up. We love to sit and listen. I always am honored whenever people say, you know, I love to just sit and hear you preach. Well, I always know they're not hearing me anyway. They're hearing the Lord as He speaks His word through me, and but I appreciate that. But what really is important is not that we hear, but what we do with what we hear. And too much of the time we're thinking about what we're going to do and we never get it done. We are 3 months into this year, and I challenged you at the beginning of the year to maybe come up with some things that you'd like to see done and maybe some things you'd like to do as we go through 2018. And I would just ask you, excuse me, to just do a little self-evaluation and see where you're at with some of your plans or some of your thoughts as to what you'd want to do. Let me say this, that the Word of the Lord very clearly teaches that the responsibility of the church is to go into the world and to teach and to preach what thus saith the Lord. It is that responsibility that you and I share today. We need to be sure that as we go under the leadership of the Spirit of God Almighty. It isn't just enough to decide that we're going to do something, but we need to have prayerfully given thought as to what we're going to do and before we do it. When you look at the Word of the Lord after Jesus had been crucified, and Joyce has touched on this morning the fact that next weekend we'll celebrate His resurrection. We're having the Good Friday services that we celebrate His crucifixion. But after He had been crucified and after He had been resurrected, He gathered together the church. And I want to emphasize the fact this morning that He had gathered together the church and that He gave them some instructions. And those instructions are still applicable today. And they are as much our responsibility today as they were when He gave them to that original church. First of all, He said this. And I'm going to read just a few verses out of the first chapter of the book of Acts. To whom also He showed Himself, speaking of the Lord, alive from His passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith He, ye have heard of me. Now, effectively, what He's saying is you go back down to Jerusalem and you stay there until I give you the word. And I will give you the word. Whenever I have the Holy Spirit to come back, while you will have been given your instructions, or you will be given your instructions. The psalmist David said, I waited patiently upon the Lord. Sometimes we are very impatient. Sometimes we want to just go ahead and do whatever it is that we want to do because we've made up our mind that's what we're going to do, and we don't really give thought to whether or not it may be whether we're doing it the way that the Lord wants us to do it or whether it's just the way that we think that it should be done. Now, I'm talking to you as God's children. I'm talking to you as a church this morning. Not talking to the lost people. I'll talk to them a little bit here too. But right now, to you. There is nothing in the work of the Lord that we need to be doing that we're not asking for the Lord to give us direction and give us His leadership. It doesn't make any difference to me how long that we've been in His service or how short amount of time that we've been in His service. We still need His help and we need His direction. To those people who had been so excited about the fact that the Lord had redeemed them, that He had chosen them, that they had been with Him, they had seen Him, they had watched Him, they had listened to Him, and then they had seen Him go away and were disappointed and disillusioned, only to find out then that He had arisen from the dead, and their excitement was rekindled, and they came back together. And as He gathered them together, He said, I want you now to do something. You pay attention to what I want you to do. I want you to go down to Jerusalem and to wait there until you receive the promise which I have promised unto you. Whenever He said, I will not leave you alone. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come again unto you. I will pray the Father and He will send the Holy Spirit back unto you that you'll not be alone. And on and on and on. But you wait there. You wait. Now, after the disciples went down there, while they were here, they held a prayer meeting, and Peter remembered that there was some scripture that needed to be fulfilled. There are some things that God expects us to do, and He teaches these things in His Word. There are some things that we don't have to sit around and say, well, I don't know whether or not the Lord would want me to do this or not. He's already told us in His Word. And when you listen to it, pay attention to it, and then say, Lord, give me what I need to be able to do the job. The disciples went down here and they prayed, and then they held that selection. I'll use the word selection rather than election. I started to use the word election because that's what they did. They voted for the person to replace Judas. And they waited there until the time of the coming of the Holy Spirit. And when the Holy Spirit came, I want you to know things begin to happen. Now, that is something that you and I need to understand today, that when we will wait patiently upon the Lord and allow Him to give us direction, and we will follow His directions, there will be results. We will not be the ones who cause those results, but we can be a party or a part of them coming about. But before we get to that point, one of the first things that we're going to have to be able to do as a child of God is to be able to say, Lord, here am I. I'm here. You take me and use me. I'm not concerned at this point whether everybody else does or whether they do not. I'm not really concerned as to whether the church is as a body is going to do this or not. But I'm going to be willing to serve you and I'm going to follow you. There are many instances in the Word of the Lord, and I like to go back over in the Old Testament, pick up the old prophet Ezekiel. When the Lord came to him and spoke to him, He said, Son of man, stand upon thy feet and I will speak to thee. What did He say? And effectively He said, get up. Get up and I can speak to you. I will speak to you. I'll tell you whatever I want you to go. I'll tell you what I want you to say. And then you go and I'll be with you. But the first thing you're going to have to do is get up. I'm reminded, and again for lost people, I'm reminded of the prodigal son, who when he came to himself down in the hog pen, all of his friends had forsaken him, all of his money had run out. He was down here literally as humiliated as he could possibly be. And then he began to think about home. And he thought about his father. He thought about the servants back in his father's house. And he said, you know, they're all better off than I am. I'm down here in this hog pen. I'm starving and I have no one who cares for me. But I'm going to do something about it. I'm going to do something about it. You know what he said he was going to do? He said, I'm going to get up from here. I'm going to get up from here, and I'm going to go back to my father. You're not going to get the job done sitting in the pew. You're going to have to be willing to get up. Somebody says, oh, well, my light's shining when I'm sitting here and everybody sees it. How many of you can see Riker's light right now? You don't even know whether he's got it on or not, do you? Yeah, he's got it on. There it is. I see it now, Riker. He didn't know he was going to be a part of my sermon this morning. Well, let me tell you something. I thought, you know what? If we just turn the lights out here, his light will shine a lot brighter. Sometimes, people, we've got to get up. It's not enough. You have not met your obligation unto the Lord just because you came to church this morning. Not a single one of you is a child of God. Now, that's one part of it, because the Bible very clearly teaches, let us forsake not the assembling of ourselves together, such as the manner of Son must become. And so we need to get together. I need to spiritually feed you the word of the Lord. That's my responsibility, is to preach the word. You as a child of God need to be nourished in the spiritual matters, and this is one of the places where that you should be able to come and get that. But that's not all there is to it. You're going to have to be willing to say, I'm willing to get up and to do something for the Lord. Now, I'm not going to tell you what it is that you're to do. But I will guarantee you, if you listen to the Lord, He'll let every single one of you know. And I'll guarantee you this too, you won't all do the same thing. But to that old boy down there in the hog pen, he said, you know what? He said, my father has enough and to spare back there at home. He had already received that portion which was rightfully his when he left. And he went out here and he wasted it, according to the word of the Lord, in riotous living. Doesn't say he wasted it like his brother thought he had. Brother's back home here. He's working all the time. But all the time he's belly aching about this one that's out here away from the Lord. Let me tell you something. My business is to take care of Kent Parson, and I've got a full-time job just try to keep him in line. He causes me more trouble than any other person there is here. It's a full-time job. I don't have enough time to make the decision as to whether or not you're in the place that the Lord wants you to be or whether you're doing what the Lord wants you to do. But you know, every single one of us know. He said, I will arise and go to my father and say unto him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and thy sight and no more worthy to be called thy son. What is he saying? He said, I'm going to get up and I'm going to do something about it. And as long as he stayed down there in that hog pen, no matter how well-intentioned his thoughts were, he was still down there in the hog pen, and he was still not with his father. It wasn't enough just to think about it. He had to get up and to go. Remember the prophet that I spoke of last week whenever I told you about Elijah. After that, Jezebel had threatened to get his life or to take his life. He was afraid and he took off and he ran, tried to escape from Jezebel. And when he got out here and was exhausted, he collapsed, he fell down and said, Lord, Lord, just let me die. You know? Sometimes we get to that point where we think, oh, we're no use to anyone. We're no good. We're not doing anything. That may be when the Lord can take us and use us. Whenever that we reach the point to where that we can realize that no longer am I able to do it. The Lord sent an angel down to him and said, get up, Elijah. Get up. I've got some work for you to do. I've got some work for you to do. And then I want to tell you one more thing. Elijah, I've got some work for you to do. I'm going to speak to you. I'm going to tell you what it is. First of all, there's going to be somebody that will follow you, that will take your place. And you're to go and anoint him. And then the next thing that you need to understand is that even though you feel like you're the only one, I have me 7,000 men who have never even bowed their knee to the idol of Baal. I've got more people than you can count out here who have still remained faithful to me. Let me tell you something this morning. Whenever you get to that point to where that you think, oh, I'm the only one, whenever you get to the point you think, well, I wonder why that the Lord doesn't speak to someone else besides me, I can assure you he is speaking to other people. He is saying to those people the same things that he's saying to me and to you. There's work to be done. And you're not going to get the work done if you're just sitting around. Now, I don't just mean literally sitting around. But sometimes we're doing that too. Sometimes we literally have to get up. Oh, Ezekiel says the Lord stood him up on his feet and spoke to him and told him to go. Elijah got up and he went. If you look at the man, the prodigal, he had to get up and go back to his father. And when he got there toward his father, he saw his father coming down the road, and his father was happy to see him. I can only imagine what all must have been going through that prodigal's mind as he thought about getting back home. Filthy, stinking, destitute, pathetic looking, if you ever saw anything that was, wondering, what's my dad going to think of me? And when he saw his dad coming down the road, his dad ran down there and threw his arms around him and received him joyfully. He could have said, wow, everything's all right. Yeah, it's a lot better than what I thought it was going to be. But he didn't. That's not what happened. He did what he said he would do when he was down there in the hog pen. He said to his father, he said, Father, I've sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and I'm no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of the hired servants. No, Father said, we're not going to do that. We're not going to do that at all. We're going to do better than that. Let me tell you something. The Lord always does better for us than we can ever even imagine when we will obey him and when we are obedient to him. But I will guarantee you this by the word of God. God does not bless disobedience. Now, people, I know that that's a hard pill to swallow. And some of you don't believe that. Some of you just think, oh, the Lord just is going to go ahead and don't make it. That's what I do. He's just going to let me do whatever I want to. And I'm going to say, Lord, I'm sorry. And he's just going to keep on blessing me. He's not going to do it. He does not bless disobedience. Find me one place in the word of the Lord where he does. It's not there. Sin always has a price to be paid. This old boy, though, his father said, you know what? He said, I'll do a lot better than what you ever thought. God has always done more for me than I could even have imagined. I sometimes just sit down and I start thinking about how good God has been to me. In so many ways, so many ways. Oh, it's not hard to start feeling sorry for yourself. I've been there too. Pity me, pity me. Oh, my, I'm the only one. Not so. Not in a million years. But then there are some times I can sit down and, you know, I can think of the little things that God has done. God has done so many little things for me. And I'm sure he has for you too if we just thought about it. But he's always given us the best. He has always given us the best. I've certainly not always given him my best. I never forget, in my I guess probably my second pastor. This pastor in a little church down the side of Morrisville, Oakville. And I went in down there one Sunday morning. I had just gotten home from being out all night Saturday night. I'd been on a trip, and I drove back to be there for church on Sunday morning. And I went in, and it was apparently obvious. I didn't think so, but they all knew. One of them said to me, "My Lord, you look terrible this morning." And I thought, "My Lord, I feel terrible this morning, but I'm here." But I could have done better. I should have done better. See, that trip, whatever, and I remember what it was, but it's not your business, was more important to me right at the time than to be ready to do my best for the Lord. He shouldn't, for one second, have been as good to me then or now as he has been. And there are some times when he still speaks to me and I'm very slow about responding. And I don't want to get up and go. And I can think of everything under the sun. I'll have every excuse that Satan will provide me to keep from doing what it is that I know that I'm supposed to do. But I'm thankful that there are a few times when God gives me enough of his grace to allow me to do it. Let me give you one more. One of the finest things, the word of the Lord, was whenever the Lord had saved the Apostle Paul, and he spoke unto him, I'll find it real quick here, and said unto him, "I want you to get up and to go, because I have chosen you to carry my name to the Gentiles." Can you imagine if Paul, after the Lord had converted him, said, "You know what? I've got a lot more important things to do than to do what you want me to." And that's effectively what we say a lot of times, people, is that I've got more important things to do than what the Lord wants me to do. And so I'll not do it. I'm not going to get up. I'm not going to go. The commission to us as a church, the commission to each one of us as a child of God, is to get up and go. Here's an interesting thing. God always says to those of his, "Get up and go." You know what he says to those who are lost? "Get up and come. Come. Come unto him." You can't go out here to tell somebody else about someone you don't know anything about. And the only way you can know him is to come to him. So, you know, there are two invitations here. One is an invitation, and the other is a directive. It is a command. And that is, one is to come, and the other is to go. Every single one of us know what it is, if we're a child of God, to know what it was to have to get up and come to him. Every one of us as a child of God then should be attentive enough to listen to him when he says to go. Go ye therefore, and to do his command. For those that are lost, it's always come. Come, ye who are weary and heavy laden. Come to me and I will give you rest. Come, for all things are now ready. So that invitation is always there. But no matter how many times the invitation is given, or no matter how many times the commission is sounded, nothing's going to happen until you decide you're going to do something about it. While we stand, while we sing.